Hello, and welcome to this podcast. In case this is the first one that you're listening to, I'm Cindy Pierce, and several years ago I started a Bible study about the women in the Bible. Each week I would read the story of a woman from the Bible and talk about some of her characteristics and how her story could apply to us today. I really enjoyed doing that study, and I was so excited about it that some other women I worked with wanted to participate, and soon I was doing several Bible studies a week during lunchtime. At the encouragement of some of those ladies, I began recording the studies and putting them on this podcast. I'm using the same format. I will read the story right out of the Bible. I use the New American Standard because that's what I grew up reading, and then I talk a bit about the story. One of the things I loved about the study is that God's Word says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So I believe that as you listen or study along, that God will speak to your heart, and I hope you enjoy this as much as I have. This is the 13th episode. The others are available on Spotify or Apple Podcast, and this is the story of Hannah. This story takes place near the end of the times of the judges and before the kings of Israel. Her story starts in 1 Samuel 1, verse 1, and it says, "Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite." So the Ephraimites were one of the half-tribes of Israel. Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph, and Manasseh was the other one. And so they each had part of a tribe in Israel. Verse 2 says he had two wives, which is never a good thing. There's probably always going to be a problem with that. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. So this was during the time the temple of the Lord had not been built yet. There was a tent of meeting set up in Shiloh, and the Israelites would go to worship there. The book of Exodus tells us that they would go up, sometimes it says once a year, sometimes it says three times a year, to celebrate, to sacrifice. And so this was a man of God who would go to sacrifice to the Lord there. So in verse 4 it says, "When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb." So this is a similar story to what we learned in the story of Rachel and Leah, where the husband loved the one more than the other, and yet the one who didn't feel as loved had children, and the other one didn't. So this is a similar situation to that. But in this one, in verse 6, her rival, however, Hannah's rival, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So basically, she is a bully, and she brings up this fact that she doesn't have children often. In verse 7, it says, "It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat." So in verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, says to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So this is an interesting phrase here, because in the book of Ruth, when we studied Ruth, verse 15 at the end, they tell Naomi that her daughter-in-law, who loves her, was better to her than 7 sons. And here her husband is saying, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons would be?" In verse 9, it says that Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. So they're at the tent of the meeting doing their sacrifice. The other wife, Peninnah, has been mean to Hannah. And she rose after eating and drinking her portion. And it says Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. So she here has been just had all she can take. And instead of getting angry or vindictive or just being bitter, she goes into the temple and she prays to the Lord. And she makes a vow, which there's some stories of vows in the Bible that don't end well. It says clearly in Deuteronomy 23, 21 through 23, that if you make a vow to the Lord, you shall not delay in fulfilling it. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5 says, it is better not to vow than to vow and not fulfill it. So she has made a vow to the Lord and just said, if you will just remember me, your maidservant, and give me a son, then I will dedicate him to you. And the part about a razor never coming on his head, there was a group of priests that when they were dedicated as priests, they didn't cut their hair. So in verse 12 it says, it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, the priest of the temple, was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, and only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. So she's in and just pouring out her soul to God. She's not even aware that anyone's watching her. The part about speaking in her heart, I think, is interesting. When the servant went to find the wife for Isaac and ended up finding Rebekah, there's a verse in Genesis 24:45 that also said he was praying and speaking in his heart. So she was speaking quietly in her heart. She was deeply moved. She was pouring out her soul, but only her lips were moving. So the priest thought she's just muttering and she's drunk. But she says in 15, but Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. The thought of pouring your soul out before the Lord, David said in Psalm 42:4 that he talked about his tears, and then he said, I pour out my soul. And in Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all time, O people, pour out your heart before him. So she was just taking all of the concern, all of the bitterness, all of the meanness, and giving it to the Lord. And Eli says in verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I love this verse. So she took her problems to the Lord. She took the bullying and the meanness that had been against her to the Lord. And she, when Eli says, go in peace, the prayer that she prayed brought peace. And then in the next verses, we're going to see that her next response was to praise. So her face is no longer sad. She's, when Jesus tells us to come and lay our burdens on him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light, she took all of that heaviness that she didn't know what to do with, and she gave it to God. And in the next verse, in verse 19, it says, then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. So the next morning after this happens, they get up and worship the Lord, and then they go back to their house in Ramah. So her prayer brought her peace, and her praise brought her the answer, because look what happens next. When they returned to their house in Ramah, Elkanah and his, had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So this verse of remembering comes in the Old Testament. Sometimes it doesn't mean that he forgot her. He never forgot her. He knew exactly where she was. But he remembered her prayer. The Message Bible actually says he began making necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. So in verse 20, it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the name Samuel actually means the name of God. I love that it says it came about in due time, because a lot of times in our lives when we pray for something, we think it needs to happen immediately, and we don't understand why things take longer than what we feel is like necessary when it has to happen, and there should be a deadline on it, and it should happen right after we pray. And we all know that a lot of times when we pray, it doesn't happen immediately. But in verse 20, it says it came about in due time. And so God did answer her prayers, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, which means name of God. So in verse 21, "Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him." So he went every year like was expected to pay his vow. And she said, "Nope, I'm going to stay here with him. I'm going to keep him with me until he's weaned." And the husband let her do what seemed best to her. So I wondered, during this time, how long it would have been until she weaned him. And typically it says somewhere between 3 and 5 years. So somewhere between when the boy was 3, and she kept him with her until he was somewhere between 3 and 5 years old. And in verse 24, it says, "Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull, 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young." So this is a young child, but she's taking him, she's fulfilling her vow. She's taking him to be presented. If you remember in Luke chapter 2, when they bring Jesus as a small child to the temple to be dedicated. So she's bringing him along with the sacrifice, and she brings the boy to Eli. So in verse 25, it says, "They slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, 'Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." So she fulfills her vow by bringing the child back to the temple, and she's going to leave him there to learn to be a priest in the temple, to learn to do the things that Eli needs him to do. And he's a very small child at this time. And I think, gosh, how hard that must have been for her. But she, when she prayed and asked God to grant that petition, and she said, "I'm going to dedicate him to you," she knew that if he answered the prayer, that was what she wanted to happen. And so she spent those 3 to 5 years just nurturing the boy, enjoying the time with him, and then she brought him to give him, in her mind, this was the way to dedicate him to the Lord. So she left him there. In 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, we have Hannah's song. It says, "Then Hannah prayed." So she's given the child to Eli to be raised in the temple, and it says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to 7, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king. He will exalt the horn of his anointed. So that is called Hannah's song. And in verse 11, it says, Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So we kind of think there's a couple other places that are people's songs. If we look in Luke 1, verse 46 through 55, that's Mary's song after the Lord speaks to her. And it's very similar to this song. I don't know if Mary had access to know what Hannah's song was, or if she just echoed her thoughts in her heart. But in Luke 1, 46 through 55, her song is very similar. It says, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He's given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. So her song is very similar to Hannah's song, and one other place, and it's in Moses' song. They just have the same theme about bringing down the proud and exalting the humble. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, The rock, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Similar from each of their songs, similar thoughts and similar patterns in their songs. And I think that David must have read this when he was writing his Psalms, because Psalm 113, 7 through 9 also have a similar theme. It says, it's almost the same words. He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and the princes of his people. Look at verse 9. It says, He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. So it's almost in Psalm 113 like that is part of this song as well. So she has, God has answered her prayers. She has given her child in the temple to worship the Lord there. And you kind of think, well, you know, that's the end of her story, but there's a little bit left. So let me just say that 2 Samuel, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 2:18, but before I get there, let me just say that like Sarah and Rachel in Genesis, Hannah grieved over the fact that she was barren. But unlike them, she took her sorrow to God. She was misunderstood by her husband and the priest, and she could have easily become bitter, hopeless, or vindictive. But instead of self-pity, she poured out her soul to God. Scripture doesn't say that she went away sure, you know, positive of what the outcome of her prayer would be. But it does say that she went away comforted, because it says she was no longer sad. And this isn't the end, because in 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 21, we revisit Samuel, and it says, Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod, which was like a robe. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So every year she would bring him clothing, to a robe to wear as he ministered to the Lord. In verse 20, it says, "Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord.' And they went to their own home." In verse 21, it says, "The Lord visited Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord." So the end of her story is beautiful. Hannah's not a woman of faith because she had a child. She is a woman of faith because she sought God. And I love that God doubled back the blessing that he gave her because she dedicated her firstborn to the Lord. God blessed her with additional sons and daughters and a full family with lots of children in her household. Because of her faith and her faithfulness to keep her vow, that would be very difficult to do once you had that baby. It would be much easier to just keep him for yourself and say, "Well, you know I made a vow to the Lord, but now that I've got him, I really don't want to let him go." But because she did and sent him to the temple, the next part of the story of Samuel is so beautiful because it's when Samuel hears the voice of God. And the very first part of that part where Samuel hears God's voice happens in 1 Samuel 3. And it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." And you may know this story, but in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, it talks about the Lord calling to Samuel because he laid down in the temple where the ark of God was, and he heard the voice of the Lord. But he hadn't learned to recognize it yet, so he kept running to Eli and asking if he was calling him. And Eli figured out what was happening and said, "Next time he calls, say, 'Here I am, your servant's listening.'" And so he did, and God began speaking to Samuel as a young child. And he grew up to be the prophet of God, who would anoint the first king of Israel, and then he would anoint the greatest king of Israel, David, and he would walk Israel through its first years as a kingdom. And he was a very godly man. We don't see really any problems that Samuel had because he was raised in the temple, and more importantly, he learned to recognize the voice of God at a very young age. So because she was faithful, and because she gave him to the Lord was able to use him in a mighty way to as a gift to the nation of Israel. So at the end of these, I usually just talk about something we can praise God for. And in this case, we want to just praise him that he knows our heart. He knew her prayer, and even though she wasn't praying it out loud, that she was speaking from her heart and pouring out her soul, he knew what the cry of her heart was. And wanted to bless her, and did bless her for her faith and her faithfulness. Something to give thanks for. We need to just be thankful if we look back for already answering so many of our prayers. God, if we look at each of our lives and can go back and look at how many of the prayers you've prayed that God has answered, I encourage you, if you don't, to keep a journal of your prayer life and jot down when God answers those prayers, and you will be amazed over the years at how many prayers God answers. Maybe not in exactly the way you thought he should answer it, but I've been amazed how many times I've gone back and just seen how faithful God is and how he wants us to pray to him. He tells us to pray to him, to ask, and it shall be given, and how faithful he is to answer our prayers. And then something to confess. We have a tendency to pour out our heart to everyone but God, and to make him last and not first. We complain to those around us that someone's treating us unfairly. We complain to our family, to our people in our friend circle or our work circle, instead of bringing our prayers to God first and pouring out our heartache and our bitterness and our sorrow to him first, because he can take it and he knows what to do with it. And that just relieves us of that burden. And then lastly, something to ask him for, and just to ask him for grace to trust him. Hannah was able to come to him and give her petition before the Lord, and to just ask to lay that heavy burden on him and then to trust him. She went away no longer sad. So that is the end of Hannah's story. I hope you enjoyed this study. Other stories are available on your podcast apps, and stay tuned for more. Thank you for listening.